step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Our toll-free number, same as it is every weekend, it's 800-823-8255. Good morning. I am Ron Wilson, your personal yard boy, talking about yardening. 27 days, 15 hours, 53 minutes, and 2 seconds until Christmas. Can you believe that's happening, Joe Strecker? No, he's shaking his head no. Before I talk to Buggy Joe, and I see that he's on the line, is he mad because we woke him up?
Does he see well, we'll just say that it took a couple times to finally get him up. It was he's not usually up this early.
No, he's not. And I mean, curious if I should we give him more time or?
Oh, maybe he's found a couple moths in his coffee.
Okay, so maybe he's okay at this point.
Oh, maybe. I just like how he said, "Well, I've been sitting right here the whole time."
Sure, he was.
He's going to use some excuse about his phone or something.
Probably. All right, but you think it's okay to go ahead and talk to him?
We can go ahead and try.
All right, we'll give it a shot.
We gotta use the right music. Hang on.
It's time for the Buggy Joe Boggs Report. Mr. Joe Boggs, Assistant Professor, Commercial Horticulture for the Iowa State University Extension OSU Department of Entomology, poster boy for OSU Extension, and co-creator of Motha Coffee Emporium, where every cup of Joe is bold as King Ghidorah, yet smooth as Mothra's silky wings. Good morning, sir!
Hello, you've reached Joe Boggs' cell phone. Just leave a very nice message, and I will return your call if I decide to.
If you decide to,
it won't be a nice message.
Listen, I'm hearing you and Joe talking about me. I can't say a word. What a great Thanksgiving introduction.
So are you awake?
I've been awake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, sure you have.
I told Joe, my wife and I got new phones. You know, it's the pay-as-you-go plan. You just put a quarter. It's only still a quarter
really?
In the top of the phone.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just forgot to do that.
That's okay.
I heard you talking about Christmas gifts earlier, so I thought I'd just bring that up. What a great gift.
Joe's looking. So you could use another one for a Christmas gift, I'm assuming you're saying there.
That's right. One for each year.
I have a Joe Boggs, obviously, OSU Extension, and the reason we got Joe on here this morning is obviously because it's fun having Joe on a show, but we typically have always done our Thanksgiving special where Rita and Joe and Joe and Gary and everybody's in here, and we eat a lot and have fun and tell stories, and it's always a lot of fun. And unfortunately, last year we weren't able to do that, and this year we're not able to do it as well, and hopefully next year we can get the tradition started back again. And, of course, one of what Rita and I found out early on when we started this tradition, that the one thing to do if you want to talk on this show when Joe's here is you just keep feeding him.
That's right.
And
that's
that way
exactly
he's
right.
Eating and he can't say anything.
That's exactly. You know, I piled onto that finally.
Yeah.
I didn't know why Rita brought so much food, and then she kept putting it over.
And put it in front of you.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Have some more cherry bounce.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife's discovered that as well. Numerous people have discovered that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, that's right. It's not a good weight loss plan, let me tell you that.
Now, just talking with Dr. Alan Armitage and all the great books that he has written.
That was great.
You know what? We have got to do the far side of Buggy Joe.
Oh, man. You know, you and I talk about this,
we've talked about other books, but I'm talking about the far side of Buggy Joe.
Well, yes, the very far.
Because there are so There have been so many things we've talked about on this show with you that Joe Strecker and I both agreed that's another one. Write it down. Far Side of Buggy Joe.
It is. You know, it is interesting. Well, it's just been fun. You know, that's something, again, you know, bring up my wife again, but we were talking about this. She was a lovely lady. Well, yes.
No matter what you tell everybody else, I think she's a wonderful lady.
I definitely married way above my standing. Yeah. Well, both of us. I mean, let's be honest. We've talked about that before.
You know?
I mean,
no, there's no doubt.
Yes. But, you know, we were talking about this. She asked, how long have I been, you know, on the radio with you? And honestly, I could not recall how – it's been a long time.
I reached out to you, if you recall, because you were our new face to watch. New extension agent for our county. And I reached out to you back, I believe it was 1992. No, when'd you come here? 93?
91. So that makes sense.
It was 92 that I reached out to you and said, hey, you know, I'd like to get closer to the extension and have somebody on. And that's where you and I met each other and have been friends ever since.
My goodness.
Business friends ever since.
Something. Oh, listen to you. I knew that was coming. I thought he's going to slip that in at some point. Yeah, I mean, we've done the show sitting on a couple of mowers.
We have done radio shows from that was pretty much. And yeah, we were actually in the display window.
We were. Yeah, people were just walking past, shaking their heads. But, yeah, you know, that's what we get.
Joe and I sitting on these riding mowers and the window, display window, doing a radio show with headphones on.
It wasn't like, you know, the Christmas display or anything like that. This was the yard boy display, wasn't it?
It was something. Oh, we got some great memories, I tell you.
Well, and that is, and I really thank you for that because date. No, thank you.
By all means.
But I could not recall. I mean, I thought it had been basically almost the entire time I've been working for Extension. But that's incredible.
Peggy Lane wrote that story about you after you had gotten here, and she had met you and whatever. She was the garden columnist at the time.
Garden writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer.
And I had her on a couple times, and then she wrote that about you. And, you know, of course, when she said the face to watch.
Oh, it was.
And then once I met you, then I realized why she wrote that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Well, that's why people are so happy for masks right now. I've told you that before. I keep getting them all the time, you know, big ones, you know, maybe just cover my entire head, you know.
Oh, man.
What were we going to talk? Well, are we staying away from the big game today?
That's one thing that's always been fair game when we have the Thanksgiving special is that we can talk about anything and everything. And I've always gotten you serious for a few minutes, but I'm not letting you stay more than just a few minutes. Kind of as a recap of what we saw this year, you know, in our area, and we've only got about 2 minutes before the break, but I think the only thing I'm going to throw at you is this. You know, you've seen a lot of things come and go. You've seen a lot of the standards that happen every year, same timing, same everything. But when you look at this year, what are the two, maybe let's say a couple things that really surprised you or stood out to you that we experienced this year, that maybe experiencing more as we go along, but a couple things that just really stood out to you?
Well, both of them start with fall. And, I bet you thought I was going to say the periodical cicada, but
that's old hat.
And we knew that was going to happen. I mean, you could look at a map and, you know, but fall armyworm, which we had a special show about
I knew that was going to happen.
That's right. And fall webworm. Fall webworm is a native insect, and certainly seeing it wasn't anything new, Ron, but we had an outbreak in Yellow Springs that just where trees were totally encased. I mean, big trees, big black walnut trees, you know, 50, 60 feet tall, totally encased in webbing, which I had never seen before. And I don't know what that bodes for the future. Although we have records of outbreaks, and they've certainly occurred. I mean, again, it's a native insect. They do that. They cycle up and down, up and down. But that came as a real surprise. When I first saw pictures sent to me, I didn't know what to make of it. It was something like out of a sci-fi movie or something. But in visiting, my wife and I drove up there. It was a real surprise. I'd never seen that before. Fall armyworm, of course, we'd never seen that before. As a matter of fact, there were people who work, you know, with this group of insects that had never, down south, mm-hmm. who had never seen the numbers that they saw this past season. So those were kind of big shockers, quite frankly. Both of them have fall in the name, and it's hard to talk about them because I keep switching over. You know, I keep calling, oh, yeah, fall armyworm up in the tree.
I meant webworm. I mean, yeah. I love it. Talking with Buggy Joe Boggs, I'm surprised Dave Chappelle didn't do a comedy routine on those fall webworms in Yellow Springs.
I was very surprised that we didn't. Frankly, I was surprised we didn't hear more about it. I never understood that throughout that time. I kept expecting a lot of newspaper articles and things like that. But, you know, Yellow Springs is a different place. So maybe people just thought, well, you know,
it's Yellow Springs.
I love going
to Yellow Springs. Though.
Oh, I do too. Oh, it's a great place.
Let's take a quick break. All right, we come back. Right. We'll continue on with the Buggy Joe Boggs Report here on our Thanksgiving special here in the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back here in the Garden with Ron Wilson, part two of the Buggy Joe Boggs Report. And, of course, it's our Thanksgiving special. And, of course, we have a lot of folks on our show today that we are very thankful for who are regulars on our show. Joe Strecker happens to be producing today. Danny Gleason a little bit under the weather and recovering. So we hope to get him back here in a week or two. And, of course, Rita Heikenfeld and Ron Rothus and just moving on through. And, of course, Dr. Alan Armitage on with a regular basis with us as well. Buggy Joe Boggs. Of course, Gary Sullivan will be coming up here in our next half hour. Our Wild Winged Wonder, Monica Brubaker, a little under the weather, so wasn't able to join us today. But always fun having the folks that we talk with on our show on pretty much a regular basis. And we are thankful for all of them. And, you know, we usually get together here in the studios, but unable to do that the last couple of years here. But hopefully next year that'll all be back to normal again, and we'll be able to get together. So right now it's just Buggy Joe on the phone. And, of course, you know your squirrel brains and gravy came up with our conversation with Rita.
Of course. I mean, that used to be a staple until, you know, squirrel brains could maybe be linked to squirrely brains.
Some disease
people,
or
right?
Something, yeah.
So we sort of, you know, and that's long been a debate with Bergu, right? You and I've talked about that before. That now people are thinking, what did I just say, Bergu?
Bergu.
Well, and I don't even know exactly how to describe Bergu. It's not like
it's like
bouillabaisse soup.
It's
kind of like that.
Kind of like a stew or something?
I like that, like a stew.
Yeah.
It is like a stew. But Bergu is it's an Appalachian thing, big in Kentucky. And, you know, my understanding is, although I never had it this way, is that, you know, one of the original main meat ingredients were brains of different sorts. It didn't have to be squirrel brains. But, they're just tiny. But
like little meatballs.
Yeah, like little, but that's changed apparently, and you know, because of concerns about the safety of eating brains of different mammals. But But yeah, that's something. You know, Ron, before we run out of time, though, there are.
We're not running out of time. You can stick with us. We can come back to you after the bottom of the hour too.
Now that you said it, we'll call the game today.
Because I know you still have, I can always tell in your voice that you have something else you want to talk about. Because I have one more thing on a serious note that I did want to bring up. All right.
I'm going to bring up two serious things. So you go first.
Beagle. Going to the Beagle. BYGL.OSU.edu. And the great things that you'll find there. But one thing that you guys are doing now that I really like, and I hope you keep this up, is the Plant Disease and Pet Diagnostic Clinic Sample Summary.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
To me, and I've been bringing this up on our show the last couple, 3 weeks, has been perfect because I look at this chart of what they were sampling, and it tells me what we're seeing out there as far as water, what I could possibly be seeing on plants in my landscape and what was diagnosed. And then, of course, we can look up and take it from there. And a lot of times you go back to the Beagle and key in oak wilt or whatever it may be, and they'll find a posting from the Beagle on oak wilt or the needle cast or whatever it may be. But I think this is an outstanding thing to do to post these because that's exactly what's going on in our state and what they're finding out there. And then it gives us a chance to look up or do whatever, or you to address or whatever. But I think this is outstanding.
Well, and thank you for that, because I agree 100%. The director of our clinic, Joy Przinski, we talked about, she started showing this. We have a weekly gathering every Tuesday morning. It's actually called the Beagle Zoom In Service, which you know where that name comes from. And,
yep.
And it's where we report things. It's where it's actually how the Beagle got started to begin with. It used to be that we wrote the Beagle based on that Tuesday morning conference call way back when.
We got about a minute before the break.
So Joy, of course, when she took over the clinic, has been coming on, and she would show these tables each week, Ron. She would show this, and I'd like to take credit, but I'm not sure who said, well, Joy, why don't you start posting that as a Beagle alert? And we need to give a nod, though, to Julie Beale. Julie Beale, you and I both know very well, down at University of Kentucky, their plant and pest diagnostic clinic. Yeah, because the Kentucky Pest News, which is another great, great newsletter, they would always do a clinic report. What are they seeing in the clinic? And Julie would report that. So I guess we're right up against a break, right?
Yep. Yeah, we got about a few seconds to go. That's right. So in other words, what we're talking about, we will take a break and make Joe hang on with us here for one more little segment. But just go to check it out. It's bygl.osu.edu. Now posting what is being what they're looking at the C. Wayne Ellett, and you got to tell everybody the C. Wayne Ellett Plant and Pest Diagnostic Clinic. Samples that are being sent in there. Folks are looking to help diagnose what's going on with the plants. Well, when they get the diagnosis together, then they're posting it on here. And like I said, to me, it's perfect because then I can look at that and say, this is what we're seeing out there. And then I can go and look and research and do whatever. So,
well, and it gives the county where it was. And just as important, what they're not confirming.
Exactly. So
you've
got all.
That's very important.
So we'll give, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name because I was just going to give credit to Joy, but. Say that again?
Oh, Przinski.
Przinski. There you go. All right.
Yes.
Not like it's spelled. Anyway, quick break. We come back. Yeah. We'll continue on with Buggy Joe Boggs here in the garden with Ron Wilson, and I just cut him off.
Do-it-yourself gardener at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson. It is our Thanksgiving special, and it's a time for part three of the Buggy Joe Boggs Report. We're glad he was able to stick around with us, but I can always tell when Joe's got something else serious that he wants to talk about, so we kept him around for one more segment.
Well, I appreciate that because, you know, there are two things that I did not report that we didn't write about in the Beagle this past season that Well, actually, one thing I did write about early in the season, and maybe we'll just launch onto that first. And I hate doing this because it's one of those things where it sounds like, you know, we're stirring up, you know, a lot of concerns and so on, but maybe misplaced in the eastern part of the United States. But Ron, the Asian giant hornet, which unfortunately people sometimes call a murder hornet, that has really become a bit of more of an issue out in Northwest Washington State, as well as Canada. For the first time this past season, there was a honeybee, there are honeybee hives that were destroyed. Hmm. And, you know, it's, I don't know about you, but I kind of lost track of it a little bit. I'm on a listserv from the Washington State Department of Agriculture, and, you know, we were getting these notices. But they seem to be coming a lot quicker late in the season. And like I said, I kind of lost track, and we didn't talk about it on the show. But I think it's worth just alerting people that, you know, this is now a bit more of a concern because they've now destroyed three nests in Washington State and another nest up in British Columbia, just across the border. Again, you know, listeners are probably saying, well, wait a minute, Joe, why are you talking about something so far out there? Well, number one is, as we've said before, those hornets didn't fly there from Japan or from elsewhere in Asia. They were shipped there. And the populations that are found in Washington State have been confirmed to be different, came from a different source, a different point of introduction than those that they're finding in British Columbia. So, you know, Ron, we've talked about a lot of non-native invasives and how they can just show up. Mm-hmm. You know, the Asian longhorn beetle, you know, last year there was the find down in South Carolina that popped up, probably shipped directly there from Asia accidentally. I mean, none of this is on purpose. But it's just something that, okay, let's maybe put this higher on the radar. Certainly the Ohio Department of Agriculture has, and they are maintaining a report website, you know, where if people believe that they are seeing the Asian giant hornets, they can take a picture. It does require a picture being sent, which is important because, you know, these hornets can be mistaken for other things and vice versa. So what they require is a picture. And this past season, over 430 postings, which is pretty remarkable.
In Ohio?
You know, the number in Ohio alone.
Well, good for us.
Exactly. You know, Ron, that's exactly what I want to say. It's a shout out to Ohio Department of Agriculture because, to my knowledge, they are the only state outside of Washington State that has an online reporting site for this insect that, yes, it's not been found anywhere but up in Washington State, you know, all the way in the Pacific Northwest. But I think it's based on what we've seen with emerald ash borer, with Asian longhorn beetle, you know, what we're seeing, the other biggie right now, of course, the spotted lanternfly, you know, these non-native invasives, you know, have a history of spreading, and the sooner they're discovered, the sooner they can be eradicated. Now, we can't eradicate some. We can't eradicate now emerald ash borer, wish we could. Spotted lantern flies too far afield to be eradicated. But something like this, you know, it's important to report it.
And now, folks understand, the 400 reportings here in Ohio were lookalikes.
Oh. They were looking, yes.
So folks, and that's a good thing. Yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because folks are seeing and reporting. And so don't be embarrassed if you think it's, you know, like, I'm not going to do that. That's okay. It, you know, I'm glad there that it's not what we were looking for. So
you know,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, we have a saying with Asian longhorn beetle that it's better to get a report, you know, that isn't Asian longhorn beetle than to not get a report that is the
right.
Asian longhorn beetle.
Right.
It's the same thing. Yeah, we want people to report it. And like you said, not to feel bad. For example, by far the most common thing reported in Ohio is the European hornet, which is a big insect. And understandably, it's big enough till it certainly draws people, draws a person's attention. And again, you know, that's okay reporting it. And as a matter of fact, it's turning out to be a great way for us to track, you know, where European hornets are in Ohio. That wasn't the intention, but it's turned out to be because, mm-hmm. you know, it's another big one. You know, the other one that is odd, and again, I'm actually very surprised we didn't talk about this sooner, is the Joro spider. Does that ring a bell? J-O-R-O.
No.
Well, so in 2014, folks down in northern Georgia, and some of the listeners in the south will, you know, say, oh, yeah, we've been seeing that. They start seeing this big orb weaver. Now, it's just, it looks, in fact, it's a golden orb weaving spider, Ron. So what does that remind you of? It reminds you of the...
You falling into the worm?
Exactly. Except Joro spider is bigger. It
wow.
is a more prolific web producer. So, I mean, there are entomologists, with University of Georgia that are reporting in their own landscape. It's like Halloween decorations. These big spider webs are all over the landscaping. And so since 2014, it has crept north. It's now into Tennessee. It's in some of the Great Smoky Mountain National Forest areas. It's over towards Chattanooga. So, you know, each year it's creeping north and south. So it's just one of those things. There's no way to stop it, but it is something that you know, we probably should have talked about in terms of just alerting people.
It's called Joro, J-O-R-O.
J-O-R-O.
Okay.
It is an Asian spider. And again, don't know how it got here to begin with. But if you go online, you know, J-O-R-O, listeners can look into this. And as the season progresses next year, that's just what we're trying to do here is to say, all right, keep your eyes out. We've been reporting on the yellow and gold Argiope or yellow and gold garden spider or black and yellow. You know, there's a lot of different names for it because, there are two different types and they're natives and they make these big orb, these big round webs that, you know, people can stagger into, right? And,
right.
and make loud
noise. Or get pushed into.
Get pushed into. And we've been having fun. Okay,
yeah.
With that.
Got about a minute to go.
I don't think this spider will be as much fun. It will be interesting, but one to keep an eye on. So those were the two things that I wanted to report on what we do have, but then some things that we don't have yet, and hopefully maybe not ever. But I have a feeling we'll probably have the spider eventually.
Got it. The Joro spider. I'll have to do some research on that one.
We'll talk about it. Yeah,
Buggy Joe Boggs, it's always a pleasure. Thankful for having you on here. Have a great winter, and of course, we'll talk to you in the spring. And I know where you'll be at noon today.
Exactly.
In your favorite recliner, watching the Ohio State play.
Yes, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Right.
Go Bucks. Thanks. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure too, Ron. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We come back. Mr. Gary Sullivan, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Home Improvement himself, here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. 27 days, 15 hours, 12 minutes, and 31 seconds until Christmas, Mr. Gary Sullivan. It's time for the man, the myth, the legend, the most listened to home improvement show host in the entire solar system. His name is Gary Sullivan. His website is GarySullivanOnline.com, and we are thankful that he is with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How was your bird?
My bird was wonderful. How was your bird?
Our bird was phenomenal.
Are you a white meat, dark meat?
I'm a white meat kind of guy.
So a little bit of a fight for the white meat?
No.
Doing extra turkey breast?
We had plenty.
Okay.
We had so much turkey. It was amazing.
Gravy and all stuffing?
We had gravy. We had stuffing. It all works.
Is it dressing or stuffing? Do you know the difference between the two?
I do not know the difference.
Rita straightened me out. It's the same product. It's just that if you put it in the bird, it's actually stuffing. If you cook it in a pan, it is dressing.
Ours was dressing.
So, yeah. Did you do the White Castle dressing?
No, we did not.
Okay.
We did have sausage in it. We didn't do giblets.
We did the turkey necks.
Oh, okay.
Was unable to find the... It's hard to find the turkey liver or even livers anymore, it seems right. like, yeah. right now. But I did find turkey necks, so we did that. So
there you go.
Yeah.
It was all good. Good. It was a good time. Yeah.
And the family all got together. And
well, 2/3 of us made it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, exactly. It was big time. Yeah, one had in-laws. So.
That's good.
COVID kind of got us off our little schedule. We had it all neatly trimmed for years. But we're going to readjust so we can all gather again.
So you're going to watch for this Joro spider in your backyard?
Oh, yeah. My eyes are wide open.
I mean, you look at those big orb spiders as big as they are already. I mean, some of them are as big as your hand.
Right.
Now this thing is bigger than that.
What do you say when you see one of those?
I can't say it.
Yeah, you can.
I can't say it on the radio.
Yikes.
Oh.
Isn't that what you always say when
Yikes.
You see a spider? Yikes.
Isn't that what they put in cartoons?
Yeah.
Yikes.
That's why everybody says
it. Oh, okay.
You see a big spider, you go, yikes. Of course you do.
Gary, is that supposed to be there?
You love that line.
I do. I will. I have used that everywhere.
Is that
people
right?
Look at me like, what are you talking about?
I love it.
You got to.
She's a quote machine. That's all I can say.
I guess.
Gary. Do you dread that sound too? Ron.
Oh, me.
Can you help me?
I love it.
Is that supposed to be
Is
there?
Is that supposed
oh,
to be
Oh, you
there?
Mean that big wasp nets the yeah. size of a basketball those in the inside of our home? No, not really.
See, those were the German
hornets.
Hornets.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Or was it German Yellow Jackets?
I thought they were called Hornets.
Hornets, so. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It kind of looked like a Yellow Jacket, but I think your friend
Joe,
called
Joe Boggs straightened us out on that
He
one.
Did.
Yeah. But, Gary, was that supposed to be there?
No.
All right, so what's the deal here? We've gotten four companies that came up with a color of the year.
I'm telling
but
you,
your
it's
company,
out of control.
Yeah, but Pantone has not done anything.
Maybe they sold the rights. Don't know.
By now, they typically have their color of the year. And remember I told you they came out with that mix of colors for the
right.
season?
Yeah.
So is that what they're going to do now?
I'm guessing that's exactly what they're going to
so
do.
So everybody
right?
went with a shade of green.
If you're going to all steal my once color of the year thing, then we're going to do a color of the month, a color of the quarter,
yeah, color
of the
season.
Seasons.
Mm-hmm. Mix it all up. But greens seem to be the hanging in there, all different shades of green.
That foresty, misty green seems to be the thing. Grayish green.
Grayish green, yeah.
Greish.
Is it a beige or grayish?
Yeah, it's greenish.
Greenge.
Can't but, have enough gray.
But you
life,
know what's funny?
We?
If you start looking at some of the commercials out there right now,
uh-huh.
and look at the backgrounds.
I know.
It's green. It's a shade of green. Not,
yes.
not nothing bright, but it's a type of green.
It's a what was it? Foggy evergreen. That's a
evergreen
kind of look,
mist,
right?
wasn't it?
It's that
like
foggy
that. Yeah.
evergreen like you see at the top of a mountain or something.
Yeah.
That's the color. And you know, and then you got your little, your cabinetry. Some of that's white. Some of it is a sage. You're seeing all that again.
It's evergreen fog or October mist.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. They are really close.
They are.
We had clover green.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going in with that bright clover green.
What was the last color
Guacamole
you used to paint?
Was the other one.
What was the last color you used?
Gray.
Was it?
Yeah. Light gray.
Did you like it?
Yes.
You know, have you ever painted a room? I think you have. painted a room, and then about 3 days later you went, ugh, I don't like that color. And you start trying to talk yourself into it. Joe's bobbing his head. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. I've been down that lane.
Yeah, our bathrooms, right? You recall that. One of the bathrooms got okay, painted so about that's happened five to different you. Times, yes.
So it had really never really happened to me until, well, 2 years ago. And we were finally going to decide, because our house is, it's more neutral. It's not like white or Queen Anne's lace. It's more of a...
Queen Anne's lace?
Yeah.
Wow.
What? That's the color of my woodwork.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh.
It's beautiful. But anyway, it's kind of neutral. It's yes. not really gray, and it's not like harvest gold or anything. It's just kind of a neutral whitish brown. I don't know. But attractive. And we're happy with it. But anyway, we got the wild hair says, you know, we need to incorporate some gray. And so we said, well, let's do the hallway along the family room. Okay. And we go out, we pick out a color. You know, rule number one, never pick out a color in a store because the lighting's different.
Different than in your house.
Than your house. And, you know, you should really put a little patch on a wall, see how it works with the adjoining walls, the sunlight coming in. I ask, that's for people that don't know what they're doing, right? That doesn't apply to me.
Because you are Gary Sullivan.
That color there's fine.
Right.
We went home, painted it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it, and I'm going like, I don't know if I like that. And
painted the whole thing and then ask yourself.
Oh, yeah, of course. I've never made a mistake. So anyway, I do the whole hall, and I'm looking at it. It's like, gosh, it almost looks like a rose gray.
Ooh.
And I wanted like a light gray, period.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a little tint of rosé in it. And I think it was because we got windows along this back wall and a lot of sunshine was coming in. And there was probably a little reddish tint in there, and it made it pop.
Hmm.
So Sue came home, and it was the sun was down. And she goes, oh, that looks good. I'm going, all right. So you know the phase now. Now you start talking yourself into the color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that looks really good. Don't you think that looks good? Yeah, that looks all right. Does have a little tinge of pink. Yeah, but I think it'll work. So the next morning, the sun comes up, shining in there. I'm looking at it. I said, that's not going to work. That's ugly. And then so Sue,
did Mrs. Sullivan look
Sue
at it?
Sue looks at it. She goes like, do you like that color? And I said, yeah, I like that color. Don't you like that color? She goes, that seems like a little pinkish. But, yeah, I could live with it. Because that's the way she is. I mean, she would live with it.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to be that particular about it. But I can't. I can't. Even though I'm saying we can live with it, I can't live with it. So finally, it was about 2.5 days later, I'm going, that color's got to go. It's just absolutely horrible. I hate it.
So that was that.
We painted it back to the old color.
Oh, did you?
Yes, it wasn't even gray. It wasn't even gray.
Hmm.
It's like, well, what we also found out is a lot of the furniture really didn't go with that color palette. We had a good stream of color flowing through the entire house.
Which is important.
Yes. And, you know, from maybe a light beige to maybe not a sage green, but a lighter type sage green in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it flowed really well, and basically we messed up that whole thing. So we just said, we're going to go back to the regular color, and if we paint the house, we'll get a decorator and make sure we make the right choices. So that was my one and only time in all the years of painting
mistake.
That was a faux pas.
Well, you know, we redid one of the bathrooms probably about 4 or 5 times. The first time it was painted, because my wife wanted really bright color, so she picked out this really bright color, mm-hmm. orangey, reddish, I don't know what it was. We turned on the light, you had to put sunglasses on. Said, I think that needs to be toned down a bit.
Yeah.
And we toned that down about 4 times or 5 times.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's still pretty bright.
So you got to paint it a couple times.
Yeah, it's still bright.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things to do.
That's why I just reversed and went right back to where we were. We were happy. We were just trying to. Oh, the perils of home ownership. So
I tell you what.
So get the little sample cans, put them on the wall, take a look at them. It's a lot easier.
Before you make that, before you point the whole thing. Gary Sullivan, always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes, sir. Take care, Ron.
Take care. Thanks to all of our callers today. Thanks to our sponsors today. Thanks, of course, to Mr. Joe Strecker, our producer and executive producer, because without Joe, none of this stuff would go. Joe, thank you so much for filling in for Danny, and we really, really do appreciate it. Now, do yourself a favor. Still plenty of time to plant a tree or two or three. Plant those native plants. Be pollinator-friendly out there. Pamper your worms. Get your kids involved with gardening, and by all means, Have fun and make this the best Thanksgiving weekend of your life. Go Bucks. See ya.
Gardening questions? Ron has the answers at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.